I note that the judge has given himself 7 days to consider this matter, and I look forward to his judgment. I think the people out there would like to see the names in the public domain. I think there has been too many dark corners in relation to RHI. That's why I moved yesterday to establish a public inquiry, and without making any allegation against anyone whose name will be revealed, and I think the names will come out, I actually believe that it's better in the interests of accountability and transparency that as soon as possible we see the names listed. So I look forward to the next move by the judge next week. I don't know where it will go after that, but I'm fairly confident, Frank, that whatever spots there are now around the recent names, that in coming weeks we'll see those names released. And I think that's a good thing. The more information in the public domain in this regard, the better.
On the subject of judges, retired appeal court judge Sir Patrick Coughlan will chair the public inquiry that you're setting up. What do you expect to get from that?
Well, I suppose, you know, listening to your programme and listening, I suppose, when we go to the shop, when we're in the pub, when we're at church on a Sunday, Epworth Church on a Sunday, the word on everyone's lips is RHI. And who would have thought we'd get to a day where everyone's talking about renewable energy? But sadly, it's not because we've all become converts to a green society or green economy or green energy, but because it's turned out to be a dreadful scandal. And what the people are saying is they want to get to the truth of the RHI scandal. To do that, they want to have a no-hiding-place inquiry, is what I have been talking about. People also say they want to have an inquiry which is a public, transparent, hopefully possible, screened live on TV, where the people who are the key players will be in a room and will be asked, what did you know, when did you know it? And, of course, also an inquiry which will follow the money. So ordinary people, and, you know, every day, I sometimes visit a little cafe near Stormont. A couple of young guys who run that cafe, one of them came back from abroad, work very hard, pay their taxes, employ people, play by the book, play by the rules, and yet they see other people clearly who are not playing by the rules, so that's the allegation, and who are doing very well. So people also want an inquiry, which ultimately will hold people to account. So no matter how high or how low your position in society, if you have been responsible for wrongdoing, that there will be consequences. And all those things have been missing, I suppose, from the RHI debate. And I think people have felt powerless. So I think that's what people want. What I have done is I have moved to institute an inquiry. Sir Patrick Coughlan will be the person who will be calling the shots. He will have to, because that is part of my pledge not to interfere in the inquiry, he will have to decide the conduct of the inquiry, how long the inquiry will take. But at the same time, I think he is aware of the hunger in the public to get answers. But you know, people have to understand as well that the route we have gone down, that we can't hope for swift answers. I hope it will be expeditious. I have said that in my view, 6 months, I think people would be content broadly if an investigation lasted 6 months. But of course, that's out of my hands. That's now over to the chair of the inquiry, Sir Patrick Coughlan.
What exactly are you hoping for? Are you hoping for heads on plates as a result of this?
Well, I'm hoping for the truth. You know, as you know, before Christmas, the institutions which I think we all worked hard to build up and to keep the confidence of the public in those institutions. I think that confidence was shot in the institutions, in the Assembly, in government, that the RHI was a straw which broke the camel's back. If you want to have faith in the institutions, confidence in the institutions, in the Assembly, in government, I think you need to take a real strong stand against allegations of corruption, allegations of abuse. And again, what I said earlier, ordinary people are looking at this and saying there's a magic circle that some people can do very well. That's the allegation. While everyone, the people who play by the book, don't get the breaks they deserve. So I'm hoping for the truth, and I am hoping that those who have been responsible for wrongdoing are held to account. That there are there are consequences, and as you know, Martin McGuinness felt so strong on this issue that it became a deal breaker. Of course, there were other issues as well, but this was symbolic, I think, of the other issues. You know, a lack of respect for ordinary people. That when it was there was an opportunity, I think, before Christmas to have an investigation, which wouldn't have the restrictions that are on this inquiry. I think it was a mistake by our former partner in government not to grasp that opportunity with both hands. But that said,
But your opponents obviously would say you didn't have to collapse a government to follow through what you're following through with now.
Well, I actually believe that impartial observers looking at what happened before Christmas agree with Martin McGuinness that he had absolutely no choice, that his credibility was also on the line, that ordinary people did see it as a defining moment. It was a crossroads that he took the correct decision, that it was impossible to continue in government against the background of the visa decision, against the background of RHI scandal, against the background, as you know, of the mounting dissatisfaction and frustration of ordinary people at the arrogance of our former partners in government. So yes, it's a major step. I regret that it had to come to that, but I also think that the majority of people understand and accept that Martin McGuinness did the right thing.
And are you confident that this inquiry will show that people who are in RHI for the right reasons, and there are many of them, that those people will come out of this unscathed?
Well, yes, I am. I have, and I said this yesterday to the Assembly, I believe that Sir Patrick Coughlin will be scrupulous in analysing the evidence. I think he will be unflinching in his determination to get to the truth and to shine a light on what happened and why it happened and who took the decisions and what went wrong and so on. And those who are genuine users of the biomass boilers, I think they have nothing to fear. But I do want to say, as well as that, Frank, the issue, of course, is that because the scheme was so cack-handedly constructed, it was so poorly constructed, that from the start, genuine users were making what has been referred to as windfall profits by the Controller and Auditor General, are super normal profits. That is that people may have gone into the scheme for genuine reasons, but their profits, instead of being 12% per annum, in some cases were 50, 60, 70, 100, 130%. That is that they were making perhaps £40,000 a year from burning the wood pellets, when under normal circumstances they should be making around £5,000. So even if you're a genuine user, the reality is that if you're making super profits, this society cannot afford, and I know this much more than anyone else, as finance minister, looking at all the different problems we face in government. And every day I meet people who say, £100,000 for my project, the Ballybean Autism Centre, the Dunkern Culture and Arts Centre on the Adam Road. I meet these people, they say, £100,000 we transform my project, and £85,000 is being lost because of RHI every day. And so the question, I think, for our society is, even if it is a genuine user, can we afford that people would make profits, super profits, super normal profits from the scheme? Of course, that's not what the scheme was about. So it is correct that we have now moved to reduce the tariff and that people will make the same sort of profits from the scheme, which is an incentive. Around 12% per annum, not the huge profits.
Okay, Finance Minister Martin O'Mullier, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Take care. 29.